It's time for the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Now here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters, welcome back another Friday, and we are literally hours away from one of the greatest birthday parties ever, America's 250th birthday. And I want to just say that before I even get going, happy birthday, America. This is the greatest nation on the planet, and I am just thrilled that my folks were wise enough to immigrate out of Holland back in 1958 and go into SoCal so that I'm not speaking Dutch, I'm speaking English. Mom and Dad, you guys were brave. Thanks for coming to America. Before we get started, I want to thank our segment sponsor, and that's Tim English Realty, and they're located at 154 Southwest Oak Street in Dallas, Oregon, and not to be confused with the other Dallas we're going to be talking about here shortly. You can get a hold of Tim at 503-998-3234 or timothyenglish.kw.com. Tim is part of Keller Williams. Tim is a friend of mine. Tim has been in real estate for years, served in the military himself at one time, and he's got a daughter that is going to be promoted in Colorado Springs this week, and Tim is heading out there. So don't call him this week. He's got great stuff going on. And I am thrilled to have back on Rural Matters from 2 years ago, Mark Waddell. And for those of you that were listening back then, you'll remember that Mark Waddell, retired Navy SEAL Mustang SEAL, and also at one time a commander of the Navy. Mark, you've done a lot of stuff, and I gotta throw this at you. I was looking at trying to get some of your award stats so I could really prop you up here. And the Navy or the military, they don't release that stuff. And so I thought, why am I working so hard? I'm going to call your brother Jack and say, hey, Jack, can you just like tell me specifically a couple of what you, Mark, have been awarded? And Jack just said it this way, and I like it best. He goes, to you, Mark, you've got a lot of accommodations, many. And to that, I think the greatest award is that you've made it through some very, very, very tough situations. And you have been more than bruised, and I mean that, in the line of duty for this country for the 25 plus years that you served us in the Navy. And we're not here unless there are people like you doing what you do or did. And then, of course, we're going to talk about your son, Josh, who's in the Marines. We'll deal with that a little later. On the other side of that, as a diehard, probably a little jaded Cowboys fan, because a lot of us are, I am happy to have on this program as well from Dallas, Jeff Staubach. Jeff, it's an honor to have you on the program. Jeff, you are a graduate of Jesuit College Prep School back in 1993. You went to Duke and you got an economics degree, and you were also a four-year baseball player for the Blue Devils. A bit of a shot of minor league baseball with the Yankees in, I believe, what, Durham, North Carolina for the Greensboro Bats, I believe.
Greensboro,
and,
yep.
Yeah. And, yeah, you tried that for a while. And then you're an analyst. You got in with the Staubach Company back in 1998. And then you've done that for a bit. And some 20 years later after that, Jeff, if I understand it correctly, you've got your own, you're the founding partner of Staubach Capital there in Dallas. Jeff, how am I doing there? Did I get that right?
That's right. You got it.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you very much. So to get the conversation going, back to you, Mark. And Jeff, feel free to jump in. Mark, how did you get to meet the Staubach family, Roger and his wife, Mary Ann? You guys get along well. Will you want to talk about that and share that with our audience? I can't wait to hear this.
Well, I'll let Jeff be the judge of whether we get along well, but you know, Jeff is my best friend in Dallas, and he's been a dear, dear and trusted friend. He's a vault. He's someone I can talk to about the most sensitive things or things that have happened in the past. And we leave everything there with an empty glass of bourbon and a campfire. And so I really appreciate his friendship and mentorship, and I've just learned so much from him over the years. Being in Dallas-Fort Worth and getting to know Jeff and his amazing family.
They are an amazing family. When you also want to talk military, and we'll deal with this in a little bit, you know, Jeff, your dad was Naval Academy, Annapolis,
yep,
and, you know, played for the Naval team. Before I get to you, Jeff, Mark, I have a question for you. And it's one that I wanted to ask you later on after you were on the program 2 years ago. And it comes actually, I'm going to tell you this, it comes from my daughter, Lydia. So you can blame her if you don't want to answer this. But we were watching Netflix a month ago before you reached out to me, Mark. And it was on the Navy SEALs. And it talked about the incredible, incredible physical, mental, spiritual, name it, hell week that you guys had to go through. And so my daughter Lydia said to me, please ask Commander Waddell, when you reached a spot where it was so excruciating, and what was it that got you to get over the wall and keep going? What was it inside of you, Mark? What was it?
Oh, I think probably just pure stupidity. that was probably the key to it, not knowing any better. But seriously, I think there's this fire that's put in the belly of young men who want to achieve something greater than themselves. And so for me, the thought of quitting was way worse than anything I could imagine. And so I just stuck to it, and I figured that eventually it had to stop. And so just kept going. And the way I took it was just, if I couldn't take it 1 week at a time, I took it 1 day at a time. If it wasn't 1 day at a time, I would take it, 1 hour or one evolution at a time and just complete each task that was in front of me. And then it just seemed like, pretty soon I just emerged through that time of trial. And really, Hell Week is kind of the lesser of so many things, because, you know, we had instructors and other people watching over us, or physicians taking core temperatures on us and making sure that we weren't going to die there. But they're doing that because when we entered into the real operational space against a real enemy, and the enemy being a physical enemy or just the elements that we dealt in the cold water and all the different various environments that we worked in, that, you know, we didn't have people watching out over us, and we only had ourselves as a team to work through whatever it was and whatever we had to persevere through.
Yeah, it's amazing. I also was wondering, Mark, is it a one and done for someone that tries to be in the SEALs? In other words, you only get one shot at that. So if you rang the bell, you just go back to what you were doing beforehand. How did that play out for those that didn't make it?
Yeah, usually what happened, if they weren't injured and medically rolled out, you know, out of the Navy, and maybe they were injured and they had to get some, you know, care, there were some opportunities for them to return to BUDS and then to endeavor to go through the process again. But that was the greater minority of people who ever returned once they quit or rang the bell in training. So, it's just about just one big try. And if you don't make it the first time, the odds of getting back and trying it again are real slim.
All right. I really appreciate that answer. Jeff, to you, as a, you know, Jesuit college prep school, I got to read a lot in the weeks getting ready to talk to you. And the statement of purpose, at least the one I saw recently, being God's hands on creation. Jeff, you're going to a all boys Catholic school from, you know, the Jesuit order, which just on a numbers deal, coming up on 5 centuries of existence here in less than in a dozen years or so. Just got to let you know that. What did it mean to you to be at that school? Because that's a lot to ask for a high school boy. That's not what you think about at that age. Talk about that a little bit, Jeff, and what it means.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because when you show up, you're a 14-year-old idiot. And I guess when you graduate, you're kind of an 18-year-old idiot to some degree still. But that's what the Jesuits do, is they mold you from the teenager that really cares about one thing, and that's himself, and to leave the place better. We all try and leave the world in a better place when we depart. But it's not just that. It's leave the kitchen in a better place than when you left it. The mantra is men for others. And that's really what they drive into us, is that, it's not about you. It's about others.
And it really shows up here when you look at the Staubach family as a whole, from, your mom and dad down to your four older sisters and you. You guys are doers and shakers, if you will. First segment, folks, visiting with Mark Weddell, Navy SEAL, Mustang Steel, former commander, retired, and Jeff Staubach, son of legendary Dallas Cowboy coach Roger Staubach. Rural Matters, we're going to be right back after this.
Back to the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters, Friday before the 4th. And quite honestly, people, haven't we been getting ready for the 4th of July since last year on year number, 249? I mean, the fireworks have been going off in my neighborhood all week and before that even. With me today, Mark Weddell, a retired Navy SEAL and also a commander at one time, 25 plus years, wow, serving our country. And Jeff Staubach, son of legendary coach Roger Staubach. And of course, Roger Staubach also, Naval Academy back in the early 60s, incredible career. Mark, what does it mean to you to have Jeff's dad be a fellow Navy guy and what he had to do? Go ahead and talk about Roger Staubach a little bit, Mark.
That'd be my pleasure. Roger went through the Academy, and of course, he was a famed quarterback at the Academy and was the Heisman Award recipient. And, just great things that he accomplished there at the Academy. But what a lot of people don't know about Roger is that when he graduated from the Academy, the Navy wanted to kind of put him in a bubble and protect him until such time as his service was up and he could, go to the NFL, to the pros and to the Cowboys. But Roger would have nothing to do with that. He was going to go to and felt obligated to go to Vietnam to serve with his brothers who he went to school with at the Naval Academy. So he insisted on being sent to Vietnam. And in fact, he went to the heart of the battle, and he went to an area that was very contested against the enemy. And he was assigned as a supply officer in a place called Chu Lai. And in Chu Lai, the supply officer whom he replaced was killed in action on that base. And in fact, Roger, to keep morale up when he took over as the supply officer, they sent him we called it a mill van or a Connex box full of footballs that he could sign and throw with the guys when they're coming in and out of the field. And a kind of a funny side story, not funny, haha, but funny as in clown dying, is that his Connex box full of footballs was actually blown up by a enemy mortar.
Oh, no.
And so he was in the heart of it. And he was there with the SEALs and special reconnaissance guys of the Marines and the Seawolf helicopter pilots. And so he was in the thick of it. And he put his butt on the line, just like everybody else. And he didn't have to. He could have stayed at some safe Navy base in the United States and just spent his time in the Navy, just, shaking hands and doing morale, welfare, and recreation. But he chose to go forward and serve in a combat zone. So hats off to Roger.
Totally hats off.
I think the commitment goes even deeper than that. You have moments in your life with mentors and friends and parents that you never forget. And I was on a father-son trip 25 years ago, probably. And one of the young men on the trip didn't have the knowledge of my dad, because the internet was kind of in its early stages and you didn't really know who these, you know, athletes are. He was younger than me, and I was five when my dad retired, so I didn't have much watching. And he was telling his story. And when he was at the Naval Academy, a lot of people don't know that you can get out of your service if you leave when you're still eligible to leave the academy. You can leave for no penalty, and you after 2 years you can just go on and say, you know what, this isn't for me, I'm out of here. And he had that opportunity to pursue pro football early and leave. And this young guy sitting next to me, I can still see his face, look confused. And he said to my dad, he goes, why didn't you leave? And he looked him square in the eye and said, because I made a commitment to the Navy. That was a moment in my life when I realized, you know, whether it's the commitment of marriage, it can be as simple as a commitment to pick somebody up from the airport. If you say you're going to do it, you do it.
I really love that story, Jeff, and to you too, Mark. And Jeff, I'm going to bring this back to you, because there's another story that I don't think a lot of people know about your dad. And Jeff, I got this story from your dad's first book called First Down, Lifetime to Go from Word Publishing. My mom and dad got me that for Christmas back in, I think, 1974 is when your dad wrote it. I was 12. And your dad, of course, Purcell High School. And your dad's coach, Jim McCarthy, I believe, is that correct? At Purcell High School, was it Jim
McCarthy? That's right.
Yeah. He had to tell your dad that he was going to play a different position. I'm going to let you talk about that, Jeff, because we could speculate. This was major, major change. Go for it.
Yeah, so it actually goes back to when he was about 10. I heard this story, I'll never forget it, probably 15 years ago. Dad and I used to get together probably once or twice a year, and we would do these father-son Q&As with different groups and, you know, Boy Scouts types and you know, real estate events, et cetera. And he was the best player on the baseball team, if you can be shocked by that. And the coach wanted him to play catcher, because the catcher clearly has to catch the ball, and not everyone can catch the ball at a young age and make the throw back to the pitcher and everything. And he did not want to do that. He was a shortstop, center fielder type, the best athlete on the field, and he didn't want to do it. And his dad, Robert Bob, my son's named after him. His dad said, Roger, not only are you going to play catcher, you're going to do it the best you can.
Right, right.
And
right,
so
right.
Fast forward 6 or 7 years, he's getting ready to play football at Purcell as a senior. And the coach comes up to him and says, I want you to play quarterback. He was a safety and kind of a flanker and did, you know, kind of a mix of positions. And it was his father that, you know, 7 years before said, not only are you going to do it, but you're going to do it to the best of your ability. And so if it weren't for him, and dad credits him, his coach and his father, for making him a quarterback, he wouldn't have done it if it was his choice. And he ended up being a pretty good one.
All right. So time to just here in the last couple of minutes of the first half of this program, we got to speculate a little bit. Your dad's coach, Roger, decides that he's just going to be a halfback or a defensive back. I'm sorry, that changes the entire Dallas Cowboys in my mind.
Yeah.
Don't it? I mean, come on. I mean, your dad would have done great at anything, but Dallas wasn't going to be the Dallas Cowboys that I and many of us come to know and love if your dad was not a quarterback. This is a pivotal moment. Jeff, come on to that a little bit for the last minute and a half that we've got.
Yeah, so he did. He started for 8 seasons, and they went to 4 Super Bowls. We haven't been to one. The Cowboys haven't been to a Super Bowl in 30 years, and so he definitely impacted the team. He probably, if he didn't play quarterback, he probably would have played baseball, is my guess. He could have been a professional baseball player. He was a phenomenal player at the Naval Academy, played on all the all-star teams growing up in high school with, you know, with the likes of Pete Rose and others in the Cincinnati area. But what the defining moment for him was, he asked the coach why he wanted him to play quarterback. He knew he had a great arm, but the coach told him, he goes, "Roger, it's because people listen to you." Yep. And so it was that leadership quality that he's always had in business and life, as a father, as a husband, as a grandfather, great grandfather now. It was that leadership quality he had, where men were willing to follow him, you know, anywhere he went.
Yeah, that leadership quality showed in the huddle for, and we'll talk about this a little later, for the 23 come from behinders wins that were orchestrated from the sideline of Coach Tom Landry to your dad's ear and to the rest of that offense on the Dallas Cowboys. Great visit right now. First half, Rural Matters, using the first football term there. We're going to be right back after this, after the news. Hang on.
The conversation continues on the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters of 1430 KYKN.
Back, Rural Matters. Can't say it enough. Happy almost 4th of July, Oregon. We're going to do it, no matter what. A lot of us here in Oregon are patriots, and I'm staring at a couple in this studio, and I sure as heck am talking to a pair between Vail, Colorado, and Dallas, Texas. Mark, I got to ask you real quick. I've been to Vail a couple of times. I shared that with you. You're in a spectacular place right now. How's it looking over there?
Yeah, it's really nice. I mean, I'm in Vail. How can it not, you know, be awesome in the summertime? We escape the heat up here in the mountains. But mostly, we bought a small place up here on Gore Creek because it's a place where I can continue to do physical therapy up here from my combat injuries, and so it's a great place to be able to stay.
Can you guys still hear me?
In Dallas this time of year, so I'm up and outside and exercising and doing things to keep this carbon unit of mine going.
Fantastic. Yep. I'm glad. I'm so glad. Jeff, I want to get back to you. Real estate's a big deal, and you and your family are so well into it with your father starting his company. You decided to move on right around in front of COVID-19, and you know, I nobody was planning on all what that brought. Talk about how you had worked through that and how it, I'm curious, compared to say Oregon and thereby you in Dallas, how you guys were able to navigate your company through COVID-19 and some other things. Talk about some highlights and some tough challenges you had moving into your team that you started.
Yeah, so I did about 20 years on the service side of the business with Staubach and JLL, almost 10 each, and decided that I didn't want to be you know, a manager. I didn't want to, you know, work for the big company for the rest of my life. As great of a company as JLL is, it was and still is. And so I started Staubach Capital as an investment shop. We're not a family office. There that was the biggest confusion. When I started, everyone thought it was going to be a family office because my dad actually retired 6 months later, but that's not the case. And then, you know, like you said, soon after the start, you know, right when we were getting our sea legs, COVID hit, and, you know, there's a chicken salad and a, you know, I guess I should say lemonade out of lemons. And we were able to do it. We actually closed on two of our biggest deals in during COVID because my partner Tyler and I just put our heads down and went to work. And as Mark mentioned during Buds, it was, you know, it was day by day, it was month by month, it was hour by hour, and we just kind of put the task in front of us, and you know, if you got to a hill, you went over it, and that was just, you know, that's what we did. And fortunately, COVID ended up being a good thing for the business. I mean, we don't know what would have happened without it. It could have been better without it. But we just put our head down and went to work and didn't complain and whine. And I think we were out of the office for maybe a few weeks. And then we were back in and working. Part of it, part of the reason was I was a, in-home teacher with three kids at home, and I couldn't get any work done at home. So I had to go back to the office.
Oh, so you were homeschooling. Am I hearing that right, Jeff? You're homeschooling?
No, I was homeschooling then just because the kids were out of school. No, they all got sent home at spring break in 2020, March of 2020, and they didn't go back till September. And so I had three kids around the dining room table on their computers with me on my computer trying to work. And I said, I got to get out of here. I got to get to the office where I can actually get some work done and I'm not doing homework for, a fourth grader.
Here in Oregon, when the whole COVID thing hit, it really seemed like we're in the twilight zone. I don't know, in Oregon being what it is, like it or leave it, love it or hate it, whatever, it really was a lockdown in a lot of ways. How was it by you guys, Jeff and Mark? I mean, were you masking up everywhere? I mean, were people giving you weird looks? And how did it affect, like, doing real estate? Both of you, feel free.
Yeah, it was very different than a lot of the world, just specifically the South. Texas, I wore a mask out of respect for the world. I mean, I wasn't an anti-masker, and so when they were required, I wore it. I own a private club here in Dallas that Mark's been a member since we opened, and we reopened as soon as we legally could. And we didn't require masks. And we just told people, if you need to wear a mask, great. We told our staff, if you feel like you need to wear a mask, that's fine. We're not going to be against it. But we just felt like Texas, there's something about Texas and freedom and liberty that is different than a lot of places. Fortunately, we reopened the state fully in January of 21.
Yeah.
And so here's another anecdote for you. Jerry Jones had more people at AT&T Stadium in 2020 than the rest of the NFL combined.
I love it.
And he opened legally. He followed the rules, and the rules were you could be 50% capacity. Well, it's a 100,000 seat stadium, so he had 50,000 at every game. And then the governor, thank God for Governor Greg Abbott.
Yep.
Greg Abbott reopened the state January of 2021, and the Texas Rangers were the first team to go full capacity on opening day. And what I'll add to that, because there are plenty of people that still think that was a bad idea, we had no issues. We had issues, but no more greater than California, New York, or other states that were much tougher on regulations. We went back to work, and I believe we proved that we did it the right way.
That's something that I'm going to tuck away in my another reason why I love the Cowboys, Jeff and Mark. Jeff, as you look at real estate and you know it, and you've got people around you that are you getting the best information. Are you looking forward to the change in the Fed chairman? And do you think that with the reserve dropping interest down a little bit, what are you guys looking at right now at this point, Jeff?
Yeah. So we had two curveballs thrown at us. And first was COVID. And then the second was the rise in interest rates starting in mid 22. It's had a severe impact on our exits and a lot of our entities. I don't think we're going to get a rate cut this year. Inflation has just spiked a little. The experts in the business that I talk to on a regular basis have been saying higher for longer, for 3.5-4 years. I think we're going to see higher interest rate. We're not going to see a 2020, 2021 rate environment for a long time. It is still getting washed out. The extensions on loans and the kicking the can has kind of hit the end of the road. And so if you have a problem child, you're out of time. If you can't refinance it, if the fundamentals don't make sense, for example, in multifamily since 2022, every single variable has gone against us. So you had interest rates at a, you know, shockingly 500 basis point rise in, you know, call it 18 to 24 months. Operating expenses went up. So our profit went down. Taxes, insurance, everything went against us, and rents went down. And so everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. But if you ran a tight ship, which we're fortunate, we have some great partners. We're not the only ones who are running our assets. If you have good partners who run a tight ship, you can get through it. But if you were, you know, very, very aggressive on your underwriting and made assumptions that maybe were a little too aggressive, then you've got problems. And they're still kind of working themselves through the system. But I don't see a scenario where they can get fixed if they aren't already fixed.
Yeah, you've hit on a lot of what realtors are dealing with. Of course, you know, you're on the, you probably do both commercial and residential, Jeff. Am I hearing that right? Do you handle both sides of that ball?
Yeah, to some degree, we own about 800 homes. And so we're in the single family for rent business. And I think what you're leading into was the rise in interest rates really shut out a lot of buyers. And so if you were buying a house with an $1,800 mortgage, well, it became a $3,500, $4,000 mortgage, and you couldn't afford it. And so we've been fortunate enough in our single family for rent business that we're buying all brand new homes from national builders because they don't have the buyers that they once had. They in the past, before interest rates went up, the national builders typically would not sell to investors. You had to be, you had to live in the house. You couldn't rent it out for a year. And now they're open to having investors come in, and we believe a stepping stone to the American dream is our trademarked motto. And, we're providing an opportunity for someone to get into a brand new home that they wouldn't have been able to get into because they couldn't afford the down payment and the mortgage.
Appreciate it, Jeff. Jake, Real Matters. We're going to come back with the final segment of this Friday, the July 3rd program, right after this. Hang on.
Back to the Blue Star Gas, Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters, I hope your Friday's glorious, because it's not going to get more glorious than this one going into Saturday the 4th. What a great country we live in. And I'm so thrilled. I'm talking with former Navy SEAL, Mustang SEAL, Mark Whittell, who's been on the program before, and he's brought on his very, very good friend, Jeff Staubach. And Jeff Staubach, of course, son of legendary Roger Staubach. And you can't forget your mom, Jeff. Does she get her accolades that are due? She a little quiet behind the scenes. How's that work in your family?
She definitely gets her accolades internally.
Yeah.
Externally, dad gets all the credit for everything. But internally, the people who know mom know that, you know, she is the rock of the family. And she stayed home. She was fortunate to stay home with all five of us. Now she's a, you know, phenomenal grandmother to my kids and a great grandmother to my niece's kids. She is as much or more of an influence on, you know, on how we turned out as dad did. But she's not, you know, she didn't win two Super Bowls, so she doesn't quite get the accolades.
Yeah, well, behind, as they say, every great man is a fantastic great woman. And I think you are also married to one. We'll talk about that a little later. I want to get back to the real estate thing for a bit, Jeff. Such a discrepancy here to build a, you know, your typical 1800 square foot house with brand new stuff, $300 square foot. And that's very discouraging. And so I kind of got a two-pronged question for you. Here in Oregon and here in Salem specifically, I see a lot of building, but it's apartments. A lot of apartments. And my friend Jack shaking his head, yeah. And not a lot of houses. And What's it like by you guys? Is it a lot of, you know, Dallas is a whole different animal. I know that, but I'm a little concerned. Why all the apartments and not a house? Can you talk on that a little bit, Jeff? Help me out here.
you know, it's my humble opinion, but the current young, you know, starter home buyer is less interested in owning a home than maybe I was at 25, 6, 7, 8, 30. They're more transient, and so they like to have flexibility. They like to be able to lock and leave, and they like to be able to pick up a phone and call somebody and have it fixed immediately, their air conditioning or whatever. And so there's less buyers on the young side. But as you mentioned, construction costs have not come down. We've seen a little bit of it, and there's been some, you know, some spikes and some dips with tariffs. But construction costs are up, and with inflation where it is, it hasn't helped. And so the national builders are still active. They can build to a lower number because they just build in such bulk.
Right.
But if you're you know, Bob the home builder in Dallas and you build spec homes, it's difficult because your pricing has definitely gone up.
Yeah, you know, back just before COVID really took off. Here in Salem, in this greater area, probably the West Coast, it was a seller's market, Jeff. You put a house on for sale and you did the open house. And my gosh, I mean, you had 20 people in a 3-hour, you know, whatever your limit was that you could take as doing open houses. And that has just completely changed. Here in my neighborhood in North Salem, Jeff and Mark, I see houses for sale, nothing fancy. They're very solid, but they're just sitting there. They're not moving. And so how's it over by you guys right now, Jeff?
It's similar. I mean, we are fortunate in North Texas to have mass migration. And so we're adding the numbers I've heard most recently is, you know, over 100 people a day.
Wow.
We're going to be larger. Will be, you know, right behind LA and New York, metropolitan areas. Chicago always kind of, you know, they always look at us and say, hey, we don't include Milwaukee in our numbers and you guys include Fort Worth, right? And so we're a much larger market than New York and Chicago as far as DFW goes. But because of the migration, the people coming here, I believe there's no better place in real estate to be than North Texas. And you're seeing, I see almost weekly, if not more than once a week, there's a large corporate relocation coming. And I mean, Morgan Stanley just announced that, you know, $700 million investment, for an office in Dallas. Goldman Sachs is building a massive campus in Dallas. JP Morgan, second most employees are in North Texas. And so it's a great place to be. The lifestyle is unlike any other. Is it beautiful? Maybe, maybe not. You know, is it flat? Yes. Are there hiking and biking trails everywhere? No, like Vail, like Oregon. But it's a great place to raise a family.
No, I can see that. And I want to touch base here, Jeff, with you. We talked about Mark's making it through to be a Navy SEAL and the physicality of it. But I want to bring up something that you're involved with. And if I'm saying it right, Jeff, it's the carry the load. You do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that wasn't no easy feat. We got a couple of minutes. Do you want to talk to my listeners about your involvement with Carry the Load? I think it's great.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I missed it this year because my daughter was graduating from high school. But two close friends of mine started Carry the Load in 2011, and it was a 20-hour and 11-minute at 2011, 20 hours and 11 minutes of rucking, and rucking now is somewhat in the vernacular. It's just walking with some weight on your back is really all it is. Back then, nobody knew what rucking was, and so. You know, the idea was to carry 10% of your body weight for as long as you could. And so I figured without training or anything, you know, I was a lot younger then. I figured, hey, how hard could this be? You know, 15 years ago, I was 36.
Right.
And so we went out and walked, and we walked for 20 hours. We did about 50 miles that first year. And the reason I did it, and I'm not comparing this to Buds at all, but the reason I did it is quitting wasn't an option because there were guys there carrying much more weight physically and mentally, because carry the load is the whole idea came from a guy walking around, a guy named Clint Bruce, walking around White Rock Lake, and an old veteran said, "Who are you carrying?" And it's those guys like Mark and Clint and Steve and Holly who were carrying someone else with them. And so I just was like, we're not stopping. I mean, we took breaks, but it was probably one of the toughest things I've ever done. And I paid for it later with, you know, blisters on blisters and,
it was a
lot harder than I thought. I brought one pair of shoes and one pair of socks. Well, I'll tell you what, the next year I was prepared, and it was, and we didn't quite do 50 miles the next year. But we did 40 plus, and it was a walk in the park, because I had shoes, socks, t-shirts, talc, everything you need, to stay, keep your feet dry, as Mark knows, is the key.
Oh yeah. Everything starts from the ground up, right, Mark? And if your feet are in trouble. Yeah.
It's for a great cause. And of course, Jeff is being way too humble about, how he supports and how his family supports causes for veterans and some of the challenges that they have, focusing on combat veterans, coming back and reintegrating into life. The Staubachs have probably provided or facilitated thousands of jobs for returning warriors, and it's the Staubach family, how much money they've given for the cause, but I can tell you it's substantial.
Yeah. And this, to both of you then, or Jeff, this is a, during Memorial Day, correct? It's to raise an awareness, right? Am I getting that right?
Yeah. It starts at 4 PM. I think it's 4 PM on Memorial Day, on Sunday, and ends at noon on Monday. So 20 hours. And then I guess this year was 20 hours and 26 minutes for 2026. But yeah, it is the idea that Stephen Holly, who is a decorated SEAL, Naval Academy, total badass. Uh-huh. The idea that Stephen had was let's get the meaning of Memorial Day back.
Right.
It's not just mattress sales and hot dogs, right? It is a much, much bigger day than a lot of us gave credit to.
Thank you, Jeff and Mark. Rural Matters. And by the way, folks, next week, Marion County Fair in Salem. I'll be there with Rural Matters. Jeff and Mark, God bless. Thanks so much.
This has been the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters, every Friday at noon on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.